So, good afternoon. This is the April 17th, 2018. It is about 5:40 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. No, 5:40 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8:40 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And I am going to take the roll. This is Jan Goodman speaking. Okay. So, Sabrina?
Uh-huh.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I was elected to be the chair of this committee.
Uh-huh.
Meeting, and Sabrina was elected to be the secretary. Sabrina, can you take roll, or should I take roll and you take notes of who was here?
Yeah, I can go ahead and take roll.
Okay, so Sabrina Jacobs.
Okay, let's see here. So for the personnel committee, roll call. Montague Washington, WTSW.
Present.
Okay. Alex Steinberg, WTSI.
Hey, hi, Tom is here. It's and we're taxiing still. I'm going to go on mute and I listen, but I probably won't be able to say much.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got Tom. Interim Executive Director, and Jan Goodman, KPFK.
Yeah, here.
And I am President Sabrina Jacobs, KPFA. Dwayne Mark, KPFC. Okay, no Dwayne Mark from KPFC. All right, we are done, Madam Chair. Go ahead.
Okay. So we are meeting today to talk about the job description and what we can do to assist Livingston and Associates in the job search, which we were given that task at the last P&B meeting. I believe that Tom sent a draft job description to everybody, but I could not find it, so he sent it to me again, and I am about to send it.
Yeah, it's Tom. I had just sent it to you.
Now, Dwayne, Sabrina, Muscula, Alex, Sophia, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so I'm just forwarding that to everybody right now.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Tom, is the job description something from your company? Because we had an ED job description that we were going by. Previously, did you get a chance to look at that?
Yeah, it's this draft. It's really about the attributes voting that we did around Pacifica, and I developed definitions for each of the key attributes. I can add more of the what's in the job description. I'm sure I have a copy of it. I just didn't put it in.
Okay. I'm just asking. I haven't seen your job description. I'm not in front of a computer at the moment
okay.
Either.
pretty long and very I'm going to sort of read at least part of it. At least the headlines of the not headlines, but the subtitles. In it, he started with our job description, and then he did a survey of LSB members and PNB members and other people that maybe Tom might talk about to see what attributes people thought were the most important, and then included those in the job description. And so the job description starts out with a little background about Pacifica and its background, and then he goes into these specific areas. So here are the areas, and each of these areas has several bullet points under them, which would be, you know, we could spend a lot of time reading them, but I feel like that would not be the best use of our time. Industry knowledge. I will read industry knowledge because I think that that's important. It's something that we've sort of lacked. Experience with and knowledgeable of media, especially listener-supported radio, journalism, and trends in technology and consumption of media, including a high level of understanding of dynamics, issues, and trends in media, public and community media, journalism, and radio, and ability to lead Pacifica in these areas. Knowledge to be able to provide oversight to maintain the quality of a complex physical plant, studios, and transmitter sites for each station, including managing the strategic and financial challenge of maintaining its effectiveness, technologically competent, comfortable with, aware of digital and social media, able to keep us abreast and current with all different platforms. Communications is the next subtitle. Highly developed public and private interpersonal communication skills with an open, engaging style, including, and then there's five bullet points there. Leadership. We seek a strategic-focused, experienced, and mission-driven individual with a mature set of leadership abilities who will help grow and maintain a positive, aligned culture within Pacifica, keep the organization improving in effectiveness in serving the people in our communities, the physical community served by our transmitters and beyond, and at the same time help us become and remain financially sound in this turbulent economic time, who also, and then we have a bunch of bullet points. Problem solving and decision making is the next subtitle. Expert decision maker who has the ability to prioritize and determine significance of a particular issue, understands who to include in the problem solving process, and knows what and how much information is needed. And then a couple more bullet points. Financial acumen, experienced, competent financial manager with the ability to provide overall direction to Pacifica, including in the financial area, comfort with dealing with money as well as providing partnering, in the case of the CFO, mentoring and supervision in the area of financial management to the national office, including our finance team at the national office, the leadership of our five stations, the Pacifica Radio Archives, and affiliates program, critical financial skills include, and then there's a bunch of bullet points. Integrity. Our most important asset is the trust our donors and audience have in our programming and in Pacifica as an institution. The key to the recovery and growth of Pacifica will be to create a new shared sense of internal cohesion and shared purpose, with the ED providing clear, transparent leadership and modeling integrity for the entire organization. Our next ED will be a bunch of bullet points. Fundraising. Excited about generating financial resources for Pacifica, effective fundraiser with demonstrated track record knowledgeable of and expert at the ED role in fundraising and resource development, including in a listener-supported environment, who is, and then a bunch of bullet points, conflict management, comfort with and skilled at managing conflict, both limiting negative and encouraging healthy conflict. And then some bullet points, vision. In the context of the challenges facing Pacifica, as well as changes the Internet is having on availability and use of media, display ability to project our needs out into the long-term future, see and understand future trends in media in related fields and the world, and the impact on Pacifica's operations, and some more sub-bullet points. Management, an organized, results-oriented manager with strong relational skills and experience leading a team as well as managing change, someone who, and then to apply, submit a letter, resume, and professional references to the Pacifica Executive Director, posting at Livingston Associates by June 15th. Inquiries are welcome. Women of color, people, women, comma, people of color, people with disabilities, and LGBT candidates are strongly encouraged to apply. Pacifica is committed to fostering a diverse workplace. For more information, contact Tom Livingston at blah, blah, blah. So it is 1 or 4 pages long, and by the way, Tom, I noticed it doesn't have page numbers, which would probably be helpful to have.
Right, right. I'm still standing waiting to get off the plane, so.
Okay, so while you're waiting, just to give briefly my thought on the subject is that it covers so much. Oh, who has joined us?
This is Dwayne.
Hey, Dwayne, how are you? We're
doing good.
We're in the midst of meeting here. And by the way, everyone, I am going to have to change phones and start driving. So I am, and I'll be able to drive hands-free, but I think somebody else should chair the rest of this meeting. And we should just make that decision right now. Sabrina, as secretary, are you in a position to chair?
No, I'm not. We don't have an agenda. I sent an email to you about a week and a half ago, reaching out so that we could discuss what we
okay.
need to do.
So I think our agenda right now is really maybe Tom, other than when he's walking, I don't know, Tom, can you, when you exit out of the plane, can you, like, stop somewhere and really what I thought we should have the agenda for this, and I apologize for not sending out an agenda, is hearing from Tom talking about, you know, what, if there's some major things missing or needing to be added to the announcement. What our next steps, getting our Tom speech. Maybe we should just have Tom chair the meeting, run the meeting.
I can explain the process of how we got to where we are now and sort of have a conversation about what needs to be in the job description. Also, I think it'd be useful if, I don't know, this is open or closed conversation, but to talk about the things like the compensation, just the logistics of how to do the search.
Okay. So,
I'm about to start walking now, so in about 3 minutes I should be where I can talk.
Okay, so you're talking. Has anybody, so I just sent this out again. I sent it out, you know, a couple of minutes ago. Is there anybody who is not at their computer so they can't open it? Besides Alex.
Jan, I'm looking at it now.
And it is definitely comprehensive. I mean, it covers a lot. And, yeah, so I don't know if anybody has any suggestions about putting anything else in it. Oh, the only other thing that I would add, maybe, does it have anything, and I didn't see this, maybe it does, maybe I just missed it, about education. That's the only other thing that I would add, what their background, what their education is.
Okay.
I just like to know what their formal education is. You know, where.
Well, maybe we should enable editing.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I would add, personally.
Okay. Let's see. So we should ask him that. So, as I said, I am going to have to sign off, and then I'm going to be driving very, very shortly. And even though we don't have, per se, an agenda, we certainly have our task cut out for us, and that is, you know, to comment on...
I didn't get the email, Ms. Sabrina.
I'm sorry, you said what?
I didn't get the email.
Oh, okay. Hold on, let's see. Did I not send it to you by some chance? Hold on.
No problem. No, I did get it. Hold on. You sent it to the wrong email address. That's okay. I got it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Did I send it?
No worries. It's okay. All right. Thank you. So I'll include this with the minutes that I send out or send to you, Dan, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so...
Is there anything else for open session, Madam Chair?
We make a note here. One, okay, mm-hmm. is discussion about education. And then
I'm taking notes, Jan. I got it.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm taking notes.
Okay, compensation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Makila asked about education, the addition of education.
And I think, you know, we probably need to say location where the
Okay, hi, this is Tom. So we're I'm in a relatively quiet place.
Okay, great. Okay, so we, I think we're at a point now where we have, and maybe we should just brought up four things that could be, you know, in the job announcement, but maybe they should be in, just asking you, the things, if we want to have a minimum of education or experience, compensation, and location of the job.
Right. So,
does that go in this, or does it go somewhere else?
Tom, this is Maskila. If I could interject here. What is your background as far as education is concerned? Did you major in anything dealing with media, et cetera, in college? And that's so that we do not eliminate someone who would be good but does not have the formal background. So I'm just asking you as just a point of reference.
Right, I'll be completely honest. I majored in the radio station. I graduated on the 9-year plan, just barely. And I did get a master's degree in master's of liberal arts, which is kind of a non-professional degree. But yeah, I'm not a paragon of the educational system. I was managing my first radio station. I was 22 and still going to school.
Well, you're still good. We're still glad to have you.
So if I could kind of talk about where the structure of this, you know, what Maskila is talking about is do we want to include minimum qualifications, which I think is a fine thing to do. A lot of a lot of job descriptions have them. So the way that we got to this place is in that initial site, all those initial site visits that I did at the stations, I had a conversation with most of the local station boards, a lot of the staff. It might have been as many as 100 people. I had so the questions that I asked are, where do we need to be in 3 to 5 years? Given that, what are our current strengths and weaknesses? And given that, what do we need in this person? And then I had the respondents vote from that a list of 52 attributes that were we developed this approach about in the early in 2004, 2005, and we've used it on about 60 searches and. And so I had the respondents vote and rank the vote for 7 attributes and rank them. And it's weighted voting and collated all the voting and then developed definitions for each of them. So and the two ways that we tend to use this material, first of all, isn't the profile. The only place that we'll have it posted will be on, I guess, Pacifica websites, but our website where the job will be offered. Any advertising we do will be a small part of that, and with a reference to it, with a link to the site. So we use it in the recruiting, and then we'll use it, we'll do an initial screen of 20 of the top candidates. I have one person who does all of those. She gives a score of 1 to 10 on each of those attributes, and then that's how we stack the pool. So that's sort of the background about this document. The definitions are up for grabs. Even a list of attributes. On the voting, the one thing that wasn't in the top 10 was the management piece, which just seemed to me to be paramount. And there's in the list of attributes that we have people vote from, it divides up the management pieces. So anyway, that's, I'll stop there.
Dan?
So I guess Dan might have a car.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet. Does anybody have any questions of Tom?
You know, I'd say since everybody just got this, we could have you review it. What it should do is give a really deep drill down on what we need. You know, you should look at this and go, oh yeah, that's exactly what we need. And if there's extraneous things or things that are missing, you know, we could do more editing by email. And the other part.
It's my feeling about this, just, you know, to try to cut to the chase. If 15 words are wrong, we have more than enough to catch, you know, anybody who might possibly be interested in this job and who might be capable of it. And is there anybody who disagrees with that? Yeah, I don't see the
point. Just one point. Jen.
Yes.
You don't want to disqualify someone in advance because of some education criteria that may sound relevant but may not be totally relevant. So, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I agree. So we could, you know, one of the things that we had before was saying something like, bachelor's degree or equivalent in experience or something.
Excuse me, this is Dwayne.
You know, I like this job description. I really do. I am just always concerned about a little, you know, but about what kinds of background people have. But we will get that from the resume that people send in. You know, whether or not we need to be specific, like, you know, bachelor's or equivalent. I don't know. That might turn some people off who may be qualified. You know, Tom just told us.
We are going to have a range of compensation in there somewhere, right?
Well, I think we need to. I'm sorry.
This is Dwayne. Can you hear me?
Yes.
How is it that even at our local station, we tend to have a minimum educational requirement? At best, someone who is going to run a station with a $1 or $2 million budget and anywhere from 30 to 50 to 100 employees, at best, you want them to have minimum education requirements, because the people that they will be leading will look to that. So I think you're really sending out a bad message when you're talking about paying somebody $120,000 a year, and you're not even requiring a bachelor's degree to start with, and they're supposed to turn around a foundation. Now, granted, it may be individuals who are in their 50s, their 60s, and their 70s who want to apply for this job, and so a college degree may be a challenge, and you may be able to compensate that with a tremendous amount of experience and proof of accomplishment. But to say the least, you're going to get 500,000 people to apply for this $120,000 job. You don't set any minimum standards.
Can I speak? I think you missed the question that I asked Tom when we first started. I think you were late coming on. And my first question to Tom was, what is your educational background?
Because I heard that.
You heard that?
I didn't miss that, but I'm still following up on that to say that a foundation, Pacifica Foundation, offering a position to lead this organization to the next 10 years. It's really insane that you would publish something and say that there's not a minimum educational standard. I don't understand that.
Well, listen, we haven't made any decisions yet, and we don't need to...
Well, yeah, we're making them now, so I just want to throw it out there. A person should have a minimum. Even as a station manager, they should have a minimum of a bachelor's degree, so...
But if I could speak further on this, I would have hated to miss out on somebody like Tom before he got his BA or BS or whatever, okay? I would have hated to miss out on someone like him. And I don't know, I could be wrong, maybe we will receive 500 resumes, and we would have to go through 500 resumes with Tom's help. So, I don't necessarily see, at this point anyway, putting in, it doesn't have to, I mean, it could, or like Alex said, a BA or the equivalent of a VA, we could do that. I don't mind compromising on that, but I don't think...
Well, that wouldn't be a compromise.
I don't think we need to limit our thinking as far as this position is concerned. $120,000, I live in D.C. That's nothing for a top executive handling millions of... It's nothing. Okay?
Well, I don't want to get into the nothing, but I do want to say that if you're going to attract quality personnel, any job or any position that's of any weight, if you look at it, when it's published, they give you minimum standards, minimum expectation, minimum requirements across the board. What is expected?
This is Tom. As Dwayne says, minimum qualifications are very common. Our experience in the searches that we've done, and public media is not the same as Pacifica. And a lot of the institutions, a lot of the stations are at universities, and those essentially 100% of the time require a bachelor's degree. And I'd say in every one of three general manager searches, that question comes up. A candidate will say, I don't have my degree. And so you can lose occasional candidates. It's not a very significant, it doesn't leave a lot of people on the sidelines. Another common minimum would be a certain number of years of related experience. It could be 10 years for a job like this. Another one could be management supervisory experience. 3 to 5 years is not uncommon. I'm not really against those. I did not put them in there. What our search focuses on are these attributes. A deep look at what we need exactly. So that's how this should be. And then we screen the candidates based on those. From the resumes, we'll pick the top 20 or so, which gets you out beyond any kind of reputation bias So that's the notion. I'm certainly not against minimums. They can be a useful way to keep the number of applications down. But as Mosquito said, to me, the recruiting part is to have a very comprehensive tough. This is a tough. If you look at what this is, it's you look at that and say that's a pretty good way to sort by itself to expect somebody to have this kind of skill set. And then screen, the more resumes you get from people, the better, and then do really tough screening of the candidates you have as you start to narrow that pool.
Tom, may I speak, John?
Yes, I want somebody else to share this starting now, if possible. So, do we have a volunteer here?
You said you're going to hand it off as phone. No, I can't. There's nothing to share if I don't have an agenda. That's why I was trying to contact you.
Okay, all right. So,
yeah.
Tom, why don't you just share the rest of this, okay?
I'd be glad to.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, so, Tom, my thought about this is, of course, I think we should put in there something about a college education. I was just wondering. I don't think we have to require like a degree in broadcasting, although that may certainly be a plus, or broadcasting or media or one of those areas. I think we of course need some minimal education requirements, but we also need to be flexible. So that was the only point I was making. My experience, by the way, is that you will get a lot of applications from people who are simply not qualified or underqualified for the position. It's just the way it is. I mean, to some degree, it depends on where you advertise, also, But that should be pretty. It should be pretty easy to filter out most of those applicants before you do any interviews. At least that's been my experience of being on search committees before.
Sorry about that. I guess what I'd say is this document belongs to you, and if the search committee would like to include things like, I think educational requirements are fine. I think a bachelor's degree is totally appropriate. Again, our experience is that we as I said, it maybe comes up with one candidate in out of three searches that we do. And then the question, and there's also a fairly common thing to do in creating minimum qualifications is you could say required or preferred. That's a very common kind of rubric with that.
Yeah, Tom, this is Vasily Lai again. I would say preferred, but I would also give the minimum as you were speaking of earlier, like 3 to 5 years at managing or, you know, whatever else is appropriate.
But isn't that very low? I mean, that seems to be very low for an individual who's supposed to take this foundation forward 3 to 5 years.
Wayne, we are just giving possibility. We're not saying this is exactly what it should be. Tom is the one with experience. He's been working at the search firm. He's been doing, this is his seventh time being the IED. So I would give some deference to him in coming
up. Well, we're not giving deference to him by throwing out, you're the one threw out 5 to 7. Tom didn't. So I'm giving deference to Tom, but I'm just making suggestions that we need to be really mindful of getting the best person possible with all the experience. I believe we can attract a person with 10 or more years of experience because I believe that's what we need. We don't need a greenie.
Dwayne, you're not hearing me. You certainly are not hearing me. He threw out some language earlier that said some years experience in this area, some years, I won't say 3 to 5 or 10, but some years experience in a certain area, some years experience in another area. He threw out some possibilities earlier. I'm just saying we could use that as an example. Please don't do that.
I'm not exactly sure what you don't want me to do, but what I'm trying to do is to represent a view, and we'll be clear about that.
You,
I want to represent a view.
I'm gonna have
and whether you can appreciate it or not, you know.
I'm not going to do this on the telephone with other people listening. I will call you for a private conversation.
So what I could do is I'll do another draft of this. Again, what I hope you'll have time to look at this and give feedback by email, or it could wait till another meeting. It would be great if we can get started as soon as possible. But I'll include some common minimum requirements, and I can do a range. A master's degree is required. That's not something that I would recommend. And as I said, it's often typical. It's very common to have some years of experience. 10 years is not out of the question. You certainly would expect that from someone. And 5 years of management experience, or you know, whatever the number the group comes to, it's fine with me. But the point that I was making is that we tend to focus at the other end. You know, this is what we expect from the person, and then based on their resume and their letter, we'll sort down to about 20, and then we subject them to this rigorous interview. There's a person on our staff who does an interview based on each of those attributes and gives a score. The woman that does this for us, her name is Cheryl Head. She was, we met when we were both senior vice presidents at WETA. She went on to work for 8 years at CPB. She worked in their diversity office. She's very tough and good at that. And so it's, I have no objection to minimums. As Mastila was saying, that we tend to focus, you know, if we have a lot of candidates, it's great. I have no problem with that. It just means that we start them, and we're comparing them to each other, and we'll start with a large sort and then narrow that down and work with the personnel committee to as we do that.
Thank you.
So I guess I'm chairing too. So so some of you have had a chance to look at that. Or general questions or comments about what you think ought to be in a profile. To speak to what Alex said right at the beginning of the conversation, we tend to focus on the profile of the candidate we're looking for, but we can add in the job description. The one that I got for the IED position is quite comprehensive, and that could be added onto the document as well. It's what I believe about this document. Again, it'll be easy to find, but not in a lot of places. Is that providing information about the organization? And if you focus on for the most part the part about Pacifica that I put at the top of the document was what was in the. It's in our job description. So I just lifted that out. So, as you read this, to focus on that is, this what we want to say about Pacifica? Are these attributes what we want? And we've already talked about the question of the minimums. And also, are there things about the job duties that we want to include as well?
Tom, one other thing, and I'm sure you, if you've done this that many times, I'm sure you've already thought a lot about it, but it is helpful to put in a range of compensation in whatever at least when we do an ad, because sometimes people have a misunderstanding about what the compensation level is, and either they think it's too they're expecting something much higher than we're offering. That's often the case. So we should be upfront about what we can do and what we can't do.
Yeah. So again, I'm glad to defer to the group on this. And it is, in every search we do, this is a really critical conversation. Typically, we do not put it in the ad. And also the way that some organizations in the past have asked, when they start the screening process, they ask people for a salary history. That's becoming illegal, and we do not do that. But you can, as you're starting to screen the candidates, you can ask people what their minimum compensation is. And if there's somebody that looks really interesting that wants $50,000 more than we are ready to pay, we can have a conversation about that and ask, say this is what the compensation is. What I say is that it's always the second question people ask, but rather than advertise it, a concern that a lot of clients have is that if we advertise a range, then our negotiation will start at the top of the range. So we just typically don't tend to, that often falls on me to be the tough guy on the money. It's just gotten to the place where I just have the conversation and say, here's the ranger. Some of my clients give a number and I say, here's the number. And,
I'll gladly defer to your experience with this. You have a lot more experience than I do, so it was just a point that I was making. I'm not insisting on anything here.
Yeah, I defer to your experience, Tom.
Right, I appreciate that. Again, this is your document, and so I can get some range of options and talk about what our other clients have done. Any other questions?
So this is Jan. I think I'm going to have to actually get off the phone very soon. But I agree with Maskula I defer to your opinion. That's why we hired you. Although, obviously, things, some things we need. But I think that, you know, I don't think we need to wait for 2 weeks to get
right.
Things out. I think we should try to get this out sooner rather than later. And so even though I am going to have to, I think, sign off very shortly, don't take my lack of being here as anything other than.
Jan, before you go, was there something specific you wanted to have an executive session about?
No, there's nothing that I need an executive session about. You know, if we had to talk about compensation, we could, you know, that could be an executive session. I personally did not have anything that I thought we needed to have an executive session about.
Oh, okay, I was just wondering.
No, down by your seat.
So what I might what I might suggest is that I develop a list of minimum qualifications and add that to the document. I'll take a look at the job description, make sure I have a copy of it, and see if there's some of the job duties that might be added to this, and send a draft within 24 hours, and let each of you anybody that wants to weigh in on what's in there, and you will have had a chance to look at it. I would defer to Jan and to each of you. If there's a consensus in the group about the document being ready to post, then we can go ahead. We can also make, I think the compensation question is important, but it doesn't have to, we don't have to, you know, it may be a question for the board. I'm not sure exactly who makes that decision, but we will need to know, but that doesn't have to happen right away. So I think that we could, unless there's serious concerns about the document itself, I think we could probably get it posted right away and get started.
I don't think we need to. The PNB definitely does not have to make a decision as to whether or not we need to post, what it is or not. And I'm sorry, I think I just perhaps missed. I heard you say that your general inclination is against posting the amount, and why is that?
Okay, this really ends up being the almost all of our clients make that decision, and I think that it's a fine thing to do. So the concern again from my clients, this doesn't come from me particularly, is that if you post a range, the top of the range will be where the negotiation starts. I don't know that that's necessarily a problem. You know, the only problem is somebody mentioned if you don't list the compensation, is you'll get some people that want more money than you want to pay, and you can sort them out later. Typically the way that we do it is with candidates that we're interested in, we send them a follow up and say what are your salary requirements. And if it's a candidate that still seems pretty interesting, we'll say, hey, no, here's the compensation. So that's just typically how we do that. And to Jan, what you're saying is that what I said was the compensation question needs to be answered. I'm just not sure who answers that question. The decision will have to be made about how much we want to pay.
Okay, the decision about how much we want to pay, I believe we've already has been made. to be between $100,000 and $120,000. I think Mosky Law, am I, and Alex, am I correct on that? That we've made that decision?
Yeah, we but
I actually don't recall.
I do recall that, Dan. But let me ask you this. Suppose you get someone like
I'm sorry, Mosky Law, I missed what you just said. Suppose what?
Suppose we get someone like, they want 30 or 100. Would we, is that something we could take to the PNC?
I think so. I mean, if we, you know, if we have somebody who walks on water and, you know, who's turned big corporations around and, or, you know, big, you know, networks around, and, you know, we think this person, you know, just is a cat's meow. Actually, I don't think I'll let it off. Then I think we could take it to the PNB. So, I'm actually persuaded, and since the big reason for putting the salary requirements is to eliminate certain people from applying, and since Tom, obviously, that is not a problem for him, then I think that we should, I would, and I think we make the, our committee is the committee that's designated to answer this question. I think we can answer it right now. So I suggest that we not put an amount. I'm certainly relying on Tom in this regard, and so I suggest that. And if anybody opposes that, let's talk about it a little bit, and maybe hopefully we can come to a consensus. And if we can't, we can take a vote. That's my vote. That's my suggestion.
I agree with you.
You should put a range salary on the
jacket on top of the chairs.
I'm sorry, someone was...
Yeah,
I believe we should put a range on the document.
Does anybody else have... Well, why don't we just go around and say what everybody says. Is we only have like four people here. That's five people.
I don't... I don't think we should put it in the job description.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I'll go with Tom's experience on this issue. We should leave it out of certainly leave it out of the advertisement.
So, Sabrina. Sabrina, are you there?
Hello.
Sorry about that. Okay. So this is to put the salary range on the job description or not, right?
Yeah. And we're just going around and saying what, you know, after hearing Tom's discussion about it and hearing Dwayne's discussion and, you know, just what your position is, whether you think we should just leave it off for the moment or put it on. Or leave it off, period.
I don't think it really matters. Like, I mean, what are the repercussions if it's left on or if we put it on? And what are the repercussions if we don't put it on?
So, Tom, why don't you just repeat your...
Yeah, this really reflects the preference of our clients. We always have the conversation about about this question, and it typically does not get posted. The concern that clients typically say, and there's some validity to it, although I don't know that I see it. You know, when it comes to salaries, it's going to be tough. But they, the concern is that if you list a range of 100 to 120, that the negotiation will start at 120. And your flexibility to take it. I don't think it's necessary to post it. I don't think it adds anything particular. It will have the impact of sorting out people that believe they should get more.
I agree with you. Say no more. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's just not to belabor the point, but when we often have the experience, so we typically will ask what somebody's minimum compensation is, and then that's the point where having a range comes in handy, because you say, you know, if it's somebody that looks interesting, you can say, you say you want 175, the top of the range is 120, are you in or are you out? And And often people would say, no, I still want to be considered. You know, it's a tough conversation to have, because any candidate's going to want to maximize their salary. And so it's just a process. I don't think it adds anything to post it in the job description. But sometimes clients do.
Mm-hmm. Dwayne, has this been persuasive on you at all?
Yes. What is persuasive is that if we vote and if it's time to vote.
Well, that's true, but it's, you know, sometimes it's nice at least, you know, hear your,
well,
and if you
Tom
have any,
spoke,
you know.
Tom spoke to the advantages of having it and not having it. So, again, in fact, he made some of my points that, if I'm applying for this job and I know you only have $90,000 to pay, and I am the best of the best, and I know I demand $200,000, I won't apply. So why are you going to send me through this game when you're saying you want the best, but you really can't afford it? So why don't you at least publish? And then, like Tom said, let's make it $100,000. And if they negotiate up to $120,000, $130,000 because they're so great. Because my vision in the first place is we will negotiate with a candidate who has demonstrated his or her ability, who has a track record, recently have shown that they've turned around an operation and brought in millions of dollars. And I would have no problem offering them a 10% or 15% bonus of the additional money they bring their salary to $350,000. So I'm trying to make sense here in terms of, yes, I haven't done surgery, but I'm in it for a career. So I think I do bring something to the table that has some sensitivity that you ought to appreciate.
Has anybody been persuaded to change their thoughts on this? Yeah, okay. Okay, so so why don't we just leave it off? And since we've kind of voted here, even though Dwayne, you know, has made some points. But by the way, Dwayne, and just everybody, because this is a really important thing to know, that it has been shown, studies have shown, that when you pay extra money for intellectual work, productivity goes down. It goes up if you pay for piecework of, like, you know, sewing some things that are like real routine, but if it's intellectual work, productivity actually goes down. Just FYI, which is very counterintuitive, but it's true. So what else do we need to decide upon, Tom, before we, the educational? I mean, I think putting in kind of minimal experience, I think we should all, do we all agree on the minimal experience that Tom suggested might be appropriate?
This is Maskila. I think that, Tom, if you could send us
some examples of what you might say concerning the minimal experience kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm glad to do that. I will, as I get to where my I can be use my computer, I will, I'll add some suggested minimum and, you know, welcome if the group would like to change, would welcome that.
Thank you.
Well, you know, what you said earlier, something like, you know, a Bachelor of Arts or equivalent, 10 years of related experience, you know, at least 3 to 5 years of management experience.
3 to 5 years.
Hello? Is it me? No. Dwayne, would you repeat what you said?
It was disregard. It was just a reaction. Go ahead. Proceed.
I think is that about what you said, Tom?
Yes, and it doesn't have to be 3 to 5. I was giving examples of what our clients who are, you know, it's often institutional licensees, universities will be the ones that will have a list of minimums, and those are typical. 10 years experience in related fields is not, you know, as Maskila said, it's these are minimums, and it's so 10 years related experience, 5 years supervisory experience. We could put in there, how many people, a minimum of supervising a minimum of 10 staff. Those are the kind of things that are often used.
Well, I don't know that we need to put the minimum number of staff, but I like the 10 and the 5. And the reason I want to just talk about it now rather than having you go back and, write something down and then us look at it is I would just like to expedite it. If we could all agree at these as minimums, then we could, you know, just move forward. Is there anybody who thinks we should have more than 10 and 10 related and 5 supervisory? Okay, so why don't we just put that?
Great.
Do we want to put in Spanish speaking helpful, but not required? Oak?
Yes. Yes. Sabrina? Yes.
I would not put it in. You could say it. You could put it in as an extra, a plus.
How about saying a plus? Spanish speaking, a plus.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
Anybody disagree with that? Tom, what do you think about that?
I think it's fine.
Okay. All right. Anything else that we need to think about?
No.
And again,
all right.
I appreciate that, but you're all saying this fine. So I'll do another draft. Also, you know, wait and see if there are any other thoughts like that.
Okay, I think that, you know, just I think it's saying it's a plus is a you know, it just lets people know it would be a plus, not a.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Not a requirement.
Yeah. I really don't want to say anything limits our pool. That really
I don't think people
people are going to be limited by, I don't think anybody's going to not apply if they think this is a great job and they're qualified.
And someone who applied for positions about four years ago, if an ad said that to me, probably would not apply, and I am very competent, okay? So I, whether or not I would right now, we could ask the person, we could see what their language is or whatever. I'm not. And I do have some Spanish. I do have some Spanish, but not enough. I'm just on positive. I read and I don't know whether or not I would, even though I have some, but not enough. You know what I mean? At this point, I would put in the description at this point.
Okay. Anybody else's thoughts? You're kind of winning me over.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Muscula, I think.
I second Muscula. Miss Sabrina. All right.
What did you say, Sabrina?
I second what Muscula said as well.
Okay, so let's not put it in then.
No, let's not put it in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else have any ideas of things we should put in or shouldn't put in or?
Well, Madam Chair, this is my first time seeing this document. I'd like a little bit of time to just read it over.
And then
we have another meeting in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, but I'd like to get this out before 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, I would too. Can we meet next week?
Yeah, let's meet next week.
I think we can meet next week. I'm driving,
well,
so I can't.
Can't we?
But I think so.
Can I just go over this by email and so that this document can get out in the next two days or so?
Madam Chair?
I think it's a good idea. Okay.
There's no huge objections. There's just a couple of fine points here or there we might want to add something.
Yeah. I mean, my feeling is it's so broad and so detailed that, you know, if we missed putting in some small thing, we're going to, you know, it's not going to matter, probably. But, you know, why don't we schedule a meeting for next week, but let's, everybody has this now, and we'll just, should we put a deadline? Today is Tuesday, Thursday or Friday? If you don't have an objection.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay. Why don't we say Friday?
Friday.
Why don't we say Friday by noon Eastern time? So that we can, you know that by Friday afternoon we have a document that we're going to go with.
So that'll be 9 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah. So basically Thursday night for us.
Right.
Okay. You can think of it as Thursday night for us, Sabrina. and if there's some major thing, we can postpone this until Tuesday, but we'll plan to meet. What is next Tuesday? what Tuesday of the month will that be? It'll still be April, right?
Yes, it will still be April. The date is...
I know what it is. I have a...
It'll be April 24th, next Tuesday.
Okay. I probably have a KPFK personnel committee meeting that day. But, so, Tom, are you flying next Tuesday by any chance?
No. Well, I can work around it. If I haven't, I think I'm going to Houston next week, but I haven't booked a flight yet, so I can work around it.
Okay. So why don't we plan to meet next Tuesday at 4:30? Because if we meet at 4:30, then I can come to this meeting and do the other meeting, and not have a problem.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay. Anything else that we need to talk about today? Tom, what is our next? What is our next task as the committee? Assuming that we approved of this.
If the search document is complete, I think it would be useful to have a conversation about the process and make a calendar. In the draft, I said our deadline would be June 15th, and discuss what the screening steps will be, and also how a final decision will be.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea. So next week, and maybe, Tom, you could propose schedule.
Yes, and I won't wait until the meeting happens to send that out.
Okay, all righty. Okay, great. Well, I don't think we need an executive session for this meeting. Do we need a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, any objections? All right, so good night, everybody. Have a nice evening.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.